Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
KILT, KILT FM HD2, Houston.
Insider access.
Exclusive content.
Sports Radio 610.
The Texans
play
here. An Odyssey station.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. Let's head up to Lake Houston. Let's get checked in with Mr. John Littleton, see what he's up to this morning. John, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm doing pretty good, Captain. How are you today, sir?
Can't complain. That's all good.
There you go. Got up and feet hit the floor and got a cup of coffee, and I just need about another cup, and I'll be awake. I'm just kind of half awake right now, so,
right.
You know. Yeah, it's been a long week. I've been running back and forth to Louisiana all week, and it's just been a grind, I guess, you know. But
right.
I'm glad I don't have nothing really going on this weekend, you know, no tournaments or nothing. I think I'm going to go catfishing. Yeah, I know. They got that big Bob Seeley tournament going on Rayburn this weekend.
I think every bass fisherman in the world's over there.
I know. I heard the other day that somebody was saying they think they're going to have like over 5,000 boats.
Well, that's the normal ones. I heard 8,100 yesterday morning.
Well, I know I heard, like I said, they said 5,000 boats, but, you know, in those boats, you got two, sometimes three people.
Well, that's true.
Fishing out
that's
of one
true.
Boat. So,
yeah,
you know,
I was going by entries, not boats. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it could be.
That's a lot,
payout,
man.
The payout's really good. You know, $15,000 an hour for first place, and then 15th place is like $500, and entry fee is only, it was like $350, which is, you know, if you're gambling, you know, I'd rather take $350 and go enter that tournament than to go to the casino.
Yeah,
you know,
instead of spinning a wheel or rolling the dice.
Yeah, I know. You know, I have a little more control over that, you know, money by doing that, because, you know, hey, if you know, you lose a fish or you just don't find them, hey, that's on you, you know. So that machine, I don't know who that's on. So, you know, it could be a little different.
Well, the big bass of the tournament, I mean, that's probably a truck and a boat package for sure, huh?
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Yeah,
you need to win an hourly to go with that so you can pay the taxes on it.
Yeah, taxes on all that stuff I think is up to about 30%, because there's some winning tax or something. It's a little bit more than regular taxes. So
really,
yeah,
Yeah. Well, it's gone up a lot since I've been in the tournament business. Jeez.
Yeah, it's the same thing you win at the casinos. You know, they tax you more than when you win, you know, over a certain amount. So they tax you more on it. So
life isn't anything but a tax.
That's it, man. If we didn't have to pay taxes or insurance, we'd all be rich.
Yeah, everybody'd have money. Know? Yeah.
I know. We would. But no, a lot of the guys are up there that are, you know, that fish out here at Houston, and a lot of the guys from Conroe and just everywhere, really. You know, they'll draw people from, man, all over the place.
All over the country.
Yeah. So I think I might go check the catfish on the bulkheads. They're up, Mickey. I mean, we had that.
That's what I'm hearing.
Big rain and stuff last week. And I know we fished the tournament last Saturday, and when I launched, I looked at the water, and I mean, I've fished that lake so much that I don't really need to check the water level. I can kind of tell, but I did check it, and it was a 1 foot above pool last Saturday, because I know the boat ramp around the bulkheads, I mean, it was up to the walkway. You know, water was up to the walkways. And normally you can see underneath them. But even the fishing right there at the boat ramp, I did stop by there one evening on the way home from Louisiana and talked to a couple of people, actually a man and his wife, they said they've been coming just about every day, and they said they're having a better bite after 2 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock. They've been having a better bite right there around the bulkheads, and they're catching, again, mixed bags. You know, they're catching some very few crappie, but every once in a while a crappie, but they're catching a lot of catfish. You know, so those catfish are all on them bulkheads right now. I need to get me some to put in my freezer anyhow.
Well, can't beat that table for
you. Yeah. One of my buddies had just texted me and said that he said that he was going to win, so be looking out for him. So, yeah, over at Rayburn. But, no, bass fishing last weekend was pretty good, Mickey. We had 20 boats show up to fish, and you know, there was a lot of fish caught. 15-something won, and second was 14. And, you know, I mean, some good average, just good average stringers of bass. The big fish last week was 5'11", which is, you know, a good fish, you know, for Lake Houston.
Yes.
You know, so there's still a few around. And I know you've had them, and a lot of the listeners have had them. I just had one of those days. I had not the winning stringer on, but I just couldn't get them in the boat. I had them up coming to the boat. One I hit with the net at the boat. I should have just flipped it in the boat. But, you know, it was a pretty good one. It was about four. And I got the net, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to net a fish by yourself, you know, at the boat like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it pulling it right to the boat, net in the water, and right, I guess it saw the net, and it turned, and I reached to get it, and I hit the fish and came off. But, you know, that's how it is. But I think we only had two teams at zero. But, you know, there was a lot of fish caught last weekend. You know, in that tournament. So, but I've been trying to concentrate on some of these fish that are, they've been up spawning and they're backing out, you know, they're getting on some of these points and, you know, in 3, 4, 5 foot of water. And I've been throwing a crankbait, spinnerbait, something moving, you know, these fish they're hungry. They've been up there spawning, you know, especially those males. They've been up there you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, guarding that fry and stuff, and they're out there, they're eating. I have one little spot I pulled up on, and I know I caught three in a row, three casts in a row, and then I caught a keeper. You know, you're going to catch some shorter fish, smaller fish, but, you know, there's quite a few around. Just a lot of people make the mistake, not just at Lake Houston, but a lot of places where you pull up on an area like that, a point or something, and you catch one and you just keep going, you know, and, man, I've learned over the years, just, you know, you stop and just, I mean, fish it, and especially where, you know, in the bayou there where I'm fishing, you know, you can get on, come at a different angle too. Sometimes, you know, those fish, the way they set up, you know, you can pull 3 feet from them and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to go chase it or catch it.
Right.
You know, but if you get at a different angle and come across and, like, put it in front of their face, even though it's 3 feet away, they'll go eat it. But, you know, it seems like, you know, with the crankbait, you know, now the water's not, well, it's not clear, you know. I didn't look at it. When I stopped at the boat ramp, you could see, I don't know, 8 inches maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been throwing anything chartreuse and, you know, blue chartreuse and black. But it, you know, and it's got to have a ton of rattles in it. Something. And
yeah.
I've been throwing that little square bill that dives 4 to 6 foot of water. You know, it just, I like those square bills better. You know, you get more wobble, which creates more vibration, which, you know, creates more rattling out of that bait. So it's get their attention a little bit.
Yeah, especially in that off-colored water, you know, make a little noise and draw attention to it.
Yeah, I wanted to try to hit a few boat docks last weekend. There are some areas that has some boat docks, you know, that the bass are been back up in these spawning pockets and, you know, spawning, and they're starting to move out to these boat docks on the outer edge. But, man, you know, I fished down the sides of a few, but didn't have any luck. But, you know, the water was at the bottom of the, you know, deck of the boat dock. So, you know, you couldn't get under them. But, you know, it'll get down. I checked it this morning, and it said it was 100% full. So, 100%, you can get under a lot of the boat docks.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be good. But it's all good. I mean, we're going to, I think I'll take the granddaughter. We'll go see if we can catch some catfish tomorrow morning. You know, well, she'll catch them. I'll be the one baiting the hook
taking them
the fish off, you know. Yeah, that's how, you know, we got an area that where we can go. It's a little private area. And, well, I say private, it's for a subdivision, you know, but we can park the truck and just walk the bulkhead right there.
Right.
And I keep two rod and reels going because she'll catch one and give me the rod and reel, and I'll get the fish.
Do y'all use a cork or
other one.
How do you do that? Use a cork or bottom feed? What?
No, we use a cork.
Okay.
And set it about 2 foot.
And what
and
do you use for
you
bait?
Just walk. We throw a cast net and catch some
get
shad.
Get some shad. I
and,
got you.
Yeah, and you got to cut the shad, you know. I mean,
right.
I've always
let that scent out.
They like them juices. They like them juices flowing, and you can catch them. And I've been using just a small catfish hook instead of a treble hook for that because they're easier to get the hook out.
Right.
You know? That one hook instead of a treble hook, you know.
Gotcha.
So.
All right, bud. Well, hey, John, if somebody wants to give you a call and pick your brain, how they get a hold of you, man?
Sure, they can always call me on my cell or text me at 281 222 8544. Just shoot me a text or a call, and if I don't answer or pick up, I'll call you back.
All right. Always good talking to you. Have a good weekend. Put that granddaughter on some fish, man. Catch them up.
Oh, I'll do it. We thank
you. All right, John. See you, man.
All right. Later.
All right. Folks, if you want to know the latest and greatest in fishing, tune in to Texas Insider Fishing Report Thursday nights at 10:30 p.m. on Bally Sports Southwest, or you can find it on Space City Sports. And this show will give you a fresh fishing forecast, you know, before the weekend, so you can spend more time catching fish. And Texas Insider breaks down the state into six regions, three freshwater for bass and crappie enthusiasts, and three saltwater for the guys who want to catch trout and redfish inshore, or tuna, wahoo, and marlin offshore. So join Dave Farrell, Bree Gabrielle, and my friend Captain Rick Murphy to know what's hot and what's not. That's every Thursday night at 10:30, Friday at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Bally Sports Southwest or Space City Sports. Check it out.
All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing. Oh boy,
oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy,
oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life I've been waiting, tonight there'll be no...
Good morning, welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Texas City and check in with our good friend Dave Fremont down at Boyd's One Stop and the Texas City Dyke. Good morning. What's going on, Dave?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Everything's looking pretty good. Doing just fine. Everything looks like it's shaping up to be a weekend. It's going to be, whether we like it or not, it's going to be what, maybe a little rainy, maybe a little windy, or maybe not. I don't know. I was talking to Jake, and you can never can tell anymore. Sometimes the weathermen will hit it on the head, and sometimes they don't. He was telling me he's got had a barbecue or something planned, and I said, well, one thing about that is if it involves eating, I never cancel. I don't cancel if it involves eating.
Hey, trout and redfish don't either. They don't cancel. They always eat.
Yeah, so it's been kind of quiet. I just made my little old run out to the end and back, and not too many folks are out here yet this morning, but I anticipate some will. There was a few people that was gathering up some live shrimp at Boyd's as I was passing by, a couple of the regulars as far as the guides that come in about anywhere between 4 and 4:30 in the morning to scoop up what they need to take care of their customers. And
right.
And then out at the very end, pretty quiet, not much going on, just a few anglers out there, and they look like they were bedded down, getting a little bit of rest. But
doing a little napping, getting ready for that daybreak run.
Yeah.
Long night.
I pulled over to be able to talk to you for a few minutes, and I'm sitting just about in the same spot, Mickey, where a math teacher's mama was filming the big plume of smoke and a little bit of flames and stuff that was smoldering on April 16th of 1947, and she was a lot of people were watching that. There was a fire burning in the port of Texas City, and she actually was filming that with an 8mm camera when the Grand Camp blew up. When that ship blew, that video is, I don't know exactly whether the museum has it here in Texas City that you can view it, or I've actually seen it where someone had it posted, but it was just unbelievable. It knocked her clean down off the rocks on the dike.
I bet it did.
It's not that far from where I'm sitting right now. The docks are just, it's not, well, from the dike, I've kayaked over there many a time, and
sure,
it's just not far at all. It just amazes me. But we just kind of was in remembrance here 3 days ago, on April 16th. And then that happened about 9 something in the morning. And then the High Flyer ship was heavily damaged and got ripped loose from its mooring. And it was setting across the dock a ways, and they were trying to tow it out or do what they were doing with it. But I think it was the following morning, about 1 something in the morning, when that ship blew. Both of them, I think, had ammonium nitrate in their hold. And
Good old fertilizer.
Yeah, we know what can happen when you add water and heat, and then batten down the hatches. You got yourself a humongous bomb. But
man.
Anyway, it affected an awful lot of families to this day. It's still in the memories of a lot of folks. I think over about 600 people died, and I know there was over 1,000, probably way more than that, that were injured from that.
Oh, but, yeah.
Just amazes me to even think about it. But Texas City's got a lot of history. That's one of the things that we'd like to wish never happened. There's a lot of good history around here as well. I mentioned the museum. It's the museum over on 6th Street. My brother and I just decided here about a month ago, hey, let's stop in there and look around. And it's been a long time since we've been in there, but there's a lot of neat things in there if you want to learn about the area around the Texas City Dyke and Texas City, the refineries, and way back when the First Army Air Corps was formed. There was 10,000 soldiers stationed right around here, around the base of the dike, over towards Moses Lake, and a lot of neat pictures and information about that as well. But anyway, there's a little bit of the Texas City history for us. But every April, we're reminded of that terrible explosion, and there's a lot of folks has got stories to tell about that.
It broke
damage.
Out windows in Baytown and knocked dishes out of cupboards, you know. Clear up my way. That was a unbelievable blast. Unbelievable.
Yeah. After World War II, when my dad came back home, lived in Galveston, and he and my mama hadn't been married very long, but he wasn't working over here in Texas City that day when it blew, and I'm really glad, because I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Yeah, because you
wouldn't be here. But part of me might be around here somewhere, but it wouldn't be in the form of a body. But it was something. He told, and my mom, he told some stories about how, boy, it really rumbled Galveston. It really did a number. The wind was predominantly out of the south, like it is right now this morning.
Right.
And so it was keeping a lot of the smoke and stuff from the fires burning and the explosion away from the island. But at least that's the way I took it. It may not be true, but I think that's the way I
saw. I saw a video one time of an aerial photo. Somebody in a plane was videoing, you know, the smoke plume and, you know, kind of the aftermath. That was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, it's something. But anyway, Mickey, other than that, as far as on the fishing front, it's been kind of slow. I haven't heard too much. Come out here and make the rides. Usually I make mine late in the evening or late at night. That seems to be my favorite time, especially when it starts getting hot. But yeah. I hadn't heard too much going on. But looks like we're in pretty good shape for live bait. In fact, I think I saw three flags flying when I pulled up there, live shrimp, live mullet, and live croaker. Can you believe it? We've got croaker in stock. So
here we go. Croaker season.
Yeah. there'll be some croaker reports.
Anxious to see how y'all's croaker sales are this year, you know, with the limit reduction. You know, people are still going to buy them like they did in the past or what? When they went from 10 to 5, did you see much of a drop in croaker sales?
Well, be honest, I don't really keep up a whole lot with that. I'd be telling you a story, but I know that overall live bait sales since COVID has dropped.
That's pretty much everything, huh? Yeah.
Things have slowed, and you don't have as many croaker shrimpers, you'll call them, or croaker fishermen, as we did. We never did have a whole lot of them, but some of the shrimpers will switch their nets over and start doing some croaker fishing if they've got enough.
Nowadays, with the market flooded with all these imported shrimp from all over the world that our government allowed to happen, I mean, it's squeezing the American shrimper out of business, man. It's just, it's very aggravating to see what's happened. And you know, you're talking about generations of shrimpers forever, you know, along the upper Texas coast that are just, they're gone. they're out of business.
That's exactly right. That's,
and if you want to eat shrimp, true. Eat wild caught, you know, Galveston Bay and Gulf shrimp, man. That that imported stuff. I mean, seriously.
We don't have a lot of shrimpers anymore. You can just about, instead of firing up the diesel, just walk out there and throw a couple of $100 in the water and then go back home. It's just,
well, that's true. It's
really tough on them. But the ones that are out there grinding it out and getting it, I've got all the respect in the world for it.
Because I do too. Nothing support
better
them.
Nothing better than good old shrimp from Galveston Bay and the Gulf of Mexico. And so, you're going to find me dining on them every chance I get.
You got right.
It's a tough deal for them, but we've still got a few that support Boyd's and bring in the goods, and then we buy quite a bit from some of the offshore shrimpers as well. That's where most all of the big 912s and come in is the ones that are better offshore, the bigger boats. But we'll get what we can and try to make some good presentations on some 912s and 1620s and some of the smaller sizes as well. But Mickey, I haven't heard any good trout reports, but not to say there aren't any. Some of these fishermen that come out here that I'll see wading the flats and wading off of Skyline and around Mosquito, they stay kind of tight-lipped when they do get into the fish. And you know, nowadays, it used to be you could wait and watch some of these guys and talk to them when they come in, and you could take a look at the stringers or the fish bag. Well, I think these stringer and fish bag companies are going to have a hard time selling stuff because you just can't, you know, get three
the whole market,
trout.
You know. It's, you know, bait sales, lure sales, I mean, rod and reels, I mean, the whole nine yards. It's
well, you know,
things.
So now when I talk to these guys, you know, it's they say, yeah, I caught a good one. I caught one that was, you know, probably about 25 inches. So of course I let him go, and in that case it'd have been a her more than likely. But then, you know, you just don't see that many fish anymore. But there's some being caught. I think there really is, and things improve a little bit. I'm looking at 75 degrees out here, and I bet you that water temperature is getting up there about 72 or better. Because normally, what I see,
pretty much everything this morning was 75 to 77 degree water.
Oh, well,
it's up there.
That almost feels good when you get in it, huh?
Waders. Get rid of them waders when it hits 80.
Yeah,
I used to get out of them a lot earlier than that, but man, get older, that water's cold.
Yeah, you were mentioning
deep
earlier.
Deep.
I was listening to you when you said when some of them little old spring late fronts will move in, you get out of that water and hit that chilly wind, and it does a number on you when you're on that boat. You want to hunker down somewhere, get out of them things.
Get out of that wind, that cold wind when you're wet.
It won't be long. We'll be begging for a breath of fresh air, though.
You got that right. It's right around the corner, man. We'll be crying because it's hot.
Yeah. Well, Mickey, things have really, really been good in terms of crawfish for us in the last few weeks. I don't know if you've seen some of the posts I've made on my Facebook page, but
prices
we've been,
come down and availability's better. It's all good.
Jason's been cranking out some big crawfish. He has been, especially over at the Santa Fe location where we cook crawfish on Highway 6. This last week was just absolutely fun. We were just cooking some real nice ones, and he was just keeping the price down the best we could. And I think we were hanging right around as being the lowest in the area. But just having a great time. Customers sending in pictures of these big old lobster-looking crawfish. Every now and then, you know, you get a 3 or a 5 pound bag of those crawfish. You'll reach in there and it'll be like a box of Cracker Jack prize. You'll have a big old crawfish stuck off in there, you know, amongst all the rest of them. And so they'll snap pictures and send them in as well. But just lots of good, nice crawfish. Stuff that we normally see earlier in the season, but they're here and the prices have come down. And this week, I think, are the lowest prices yet that we've got set up for reservations. So been a good week. We're thankful for that. And, glad that the customers was able to have a good time as well.
Well, that's good news to hear. It, man, I tell you, crawfish, I just couldn't believe at the beginning of the season the price of them and the lack of them. It was just.
It was almost, it almost like was panic mode for so many businesses. And it hurts. It still hurts. You'll never make up for it or catch up, but that's part of the deal. That's part of the business when it comes to seafood, crawfish, and any kind of perishables like that. Shoot, it goes that way, Mickey, for even the farmers and their vegetables and stuff, all dependent on weather and water and everything down to the bugs. So you're at the mercy of, we'll call it Mother Nature, but same way here with crawfish, the Louisiana farmers really took a beating, and don't know how it's all going to pan out or what effect it'll have on next year, but we'll worry about that when that happens. But now we've had a pretty good all the last 4 weeks or so. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed and see if we can roll this on out and get through a real good Mother's Day weekend, which is one of the biggest weekends of the crawfish season.
That's a big one.
And we'll see how things go in regards to that. People are already wanting to know, how can I get a crawfish reserved for Mother's Day weekend? I said, you can wait. You're just going to have to wait. And we try to set reservations up the Monday or Tuesday before that
right.
upcoming weekend. And that's about the earliest we can go with it because, especially this year, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, if you try to do it right now, you'd have so many people on the list. And then when, if availability's down, then everybody's mad. So, I mean, that's.
Yeah.
We
had a tremendous. This week, a number of folks that have made reservations for today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and the numbers are really up, so fingers crossed, and I think we will be in good shape. I think we'll get all of the crawfish that we need to take care of those orders, and we'll still probably get quite a few more for tomorrow and the next day. Of course, Fridays are done.
Right.
We've got those done and counted, but it's a... A lot of folks are geared up for doing some crawfish this weekend as well, Mickey. So, anyway.
All right, well, shoot them out a number and some info how they can get a hold of Boyd's to reserve something or come down and buy some shrimp and all that, how they do that, Dave.
Just come on down to the Tech City Dyke. We're at 227 Dyke Road right there on the right-hand side before you actually get up on the dyke itself. And 409-945-4001, and there's a menu from there when you call that number to do what you need to do or look for what you need to
yeah buy. If you come down some try the Cajun Grill next door and get you a good shrimp poor boy or one of those good cheeseburgers, man.
Yeah, or just tell them you want a piece of bread with some tartar sauce on it. They might fix
yeah,
you up.
Tartar sauce is the best. Y'all need to package that. I'll buy a gallon of it and put it in my fridge. All right. Well, Dave, you have a good weekend. Always a pleasure talking to you, buddy.
Thank you, Mickey. Take care.
Thank
Everybody
you, sir.
Be safe.
All right, man. Bye. See you. All right. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
It was a teenage wedding, and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. Final segment already. 541 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down G-Town Way and let's check in with Captain Steve Hillman. See what he's up to this morning. Stevie, what's happening?
Not a lot, man. Not a lot.
Not
a lot. Today. No, I had... trip today and I moved it. Brooks got her, my daughter has her graduation ceremony at UTMB nursing school.
You gotta make that.
Oh heck yeah, wouldn't miss it for anything.
We're gonna do cancel that to go catch some pencils.
Yeah.
No, I moved too good around the Hillman house, I can tell you that, buddy.
I know what's gonna happen. I moved these guys, their first time to fish with me, well, one of them. And today it's fairly, the winds are light from what I can tell. And I moved them to next Friday. And I looked at the long-term forecast. It's supposed to gust like 30 next Friday.
I saw those high winds coming up towards the end of next week. There you go.
Yeah, man. That's yeah, and they don't
drifting,
wait.
Man. You can do some power drifting.
I'm so tired of drifting right now. I mean, I just...
I know it, man. Golly, it's man. Tough trying to fish these people out of a boat. And it's
crazy the difference that in the quality of the fish and in the numbers. Well, not the numbers. We caught the crap out of them yesterday drifting. But my
man,
God,
there
were
there
pencils. What?
When you said we what? Caught the...
oh, no, I know better. I
we
think
don't need
I do
no
anyway.
GAD terminology.
Right. Oh, boy. But no, waiting.
Sound
other
like
than
James
that,
there for a minute.
No, I think I've only slipped up maybe two times in the last 6 or 7 years, maybe. But and y'all didn't have that 7-second delay finger ready for me when I did. I don't think. anyway, you know,
the old trusty dump button. It's only trusty when you use it.
Yeah, and I haven't heard y'all use it very much, to be honest. But,
well, everybody's been, you know, real civil. You know,
no, that's good.
This that's is good, a famous but... show.
It is, man.
There's a lot
it's
of little
like
kids listen to this when they're going fishing in the mornings with their daddies. You
that's
know,
that's right. That's
gotta
right.
Got to be right.
But no, other than that one slow wading trip I had with David and Chuck, I guess last week, the wading's been pretty decent, but boy, I've only had, golly, like it's like 1 in 4 drifting trips have been what I consider good. You know, it's just, we drifted 3 times in the wind this week, and Monday was really bad. It really cranked up Monday.
Right.
And, of course I had Rick and Marty in from Brian, and they come in and get a hotel. And I mean, what do, man? You don't send them back home. You go man, I think it hit like 25 on, by like nine o'clock.
It. Yeah, it was getting,
and
it came up.
I'm out there drifting around in that crap. And it was like beating your head against a cinder block wall. We caught 6 trout and only 2 of them were legal. It was brutal, and we came in at like 11:30. And you know, those guys love to eat anyway. All they talk about is the stuffed shrimp at Topwater, and they, you know that you're in trouble when they start talking about food at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well,
you know it's slow.
One of the luxuries running out of Topwater.
Well, actually, that day I
have a good lunch.
Yeah, that day I actually went. I went west, but you know, everywhere I launch from, there's a restaurant and. And anyway,
yeah, we don't have many of those up my way, man. It's
no, you don't. But I guess you could pitch a tent there at Bayland Park, put a hot dog stand in, or something like that, or have old What's Her Whistle over there make some hamburgers at Thompson's or something. But no, you don't have any place to
protect it from the fallout around there.
Oh boy. But no, man, yesterday we just, it wasn't bad. The wind wasn't really bad yesterday. It was just enough. It was like 12 or 13 southeast, and it was just enough to kind of make what I wanted to do not doable.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Once you get over 10 knots, it makes everything uncomfortable and hard to do open water stuff.
Yeah, but we did. I went to where I wanted to start, where I'd been catching some legal fish, and man, they were just babies. And I mean, like 14 inches.
Yeah.
And so I pulled off of those, and I went to an area I've been checking on for about a week and a half, and I've caught a few little bitty ones there. And man, they showed up like by the masses yesterday there. It was insane. Like every cast, and I'm telling you, I've never seen fish like this in this one spot ever. They were like 10 to 12 inches. I mean, I might've caught one that was 7 or 8 inches, like maybe the size of my hand.
Boy, that one still had milk on his breath.
Oh man, it was something. And Jody, he caught one that was like 17 inches out of the middle of all that. And
wow.
Then he caught another one. It was like 16 inches. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, there's a few, you know, there's a few keepers mixed in, and we never caught another keeper out of them. And then I hooked a bull red,
And, oh, boy. Well, they're in there eating little fish, what they're doing.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And didn't shock me at all. And I'm doing that like two or three times a week in some of the areas I'm drifting where there's a bunch of little fish. We're hooking two or three of those daggum big. I mean, these are like 35 inches. These are big bull reds, you know, for the bay. And man, some of these fish, some of these reds are in like 2 foot of water. It's crazy. Yeah. But I fought him for a while and you know, Jody and Todd are trying to fish and I've got this bulldozer red just take me all around the boat. I finally just thumbed it and broke him off, you know. And then we went back to catching pencils and I left there and made a long run and caught a gaff top. It was a big time run I made and thinking that we'd land on something and caught a gaff top. Then I made another run. We fished three different major parts of the bay yesterday. I don't know how many miles I went. I know how much gas I burned. I burned 22 gallons yesterday.
Yeah.
But
it's just a walk in the park, man. Ain't nothing to it.
Yeah. But we caught fish everywhere but that one spot, but all little. I mean, honestly, I guarantee you we caught at least 50 trout yesterday. At least.
You're hearing all these numbers, but, you know, they're not all big or, you know, good fish. I mean, it's all depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, wading, the quality is better.
I don't even count them unless they're keepers. I don't count.
Right.
I don't count all that throwback stuff.
Right. But I haven't.
I don't count
exactly.
By catch.
What gets me is some of these areas I'm fishing this time last year actually had some pretty decent fish. And man, I guess our pattern is just it's just a revolving door, man. It's just our pattern seems to change.
Well, the fish are always in the same place, but they're different age groups.
From
year to year. It's crazy.
That's exactly what I was going to say. The pattern changes with the legal size fish. It seems like every year these days. Mm. And I know some of these areas I hit yesterday here in the next two or three weeks, I'm sure we'll get some tide runners in there. And, you know, some of this stuff, I might be I'm hitting it a little prematurely, but you know, what do? You're out there drifting around. You're forced to find something for your guys. And it's just one that's, and it did kick up. It kicked up pretty good yesterday, probably 16, 17. It kicked up by about 10:30. It was blowing a little bit. It wasn't like it was ice cream. And I couldn't go do, you know, everything I wanted to do.
Sure.
But, you know, you're trying to get your guys out of the wind, put them on some bites, and man, it just so happens all those fish were pencils, you know. But there's some decent areas right now you can wade, and really three areas that I know of that are holding a fair amount of fish. But even then, it's still timing. It's still timing, you know. And we always say that. I know people get sick and tired of hearing the T word, but it really is, you know.
Well, that's with anything, you know.
it that's true.
That's life.
Time, but especially our part of the coast this time of year. Down south, totally different, no comparison. Their transition and everything's a different time. They don't see the transition that we see up here on the upper coast. But we go through it every single year.
Well, they don't have all the big, deep, open, vast water, you know, like we do.
Right. That's right. Everything's kind of narrowed down. The strike zone, you know, is lower when you're casting 2-3 foot of water all day long. But unless, you know, but their water
earlier
texted
me
their water gets
know
warmer
how
faster.
Guide terminology wise, how I classify fish and size. And I said, well, I texted him back and just said, well, anything up to 2 pounds, I call that pencils, you know, on trout. And then 2 to 4s, I call them solids. And then 4 and 5s, I call them good fish. And then 6, 7s, and 8s, they're big fish. And anything 9 or better is huge fish. So
that's trophy.
That's
it. Yeah, anything for me right now that's over 5 pounds is a unicorn. All those unicorns.
That's it.
But I caught one that was about 4.5 last week. I'm not catching anything big, but like I said, I sound like a broken record. Our better fish are
wading. Well, you're not spending any time on flats wading either. You're having to drift fish. It's a big time of year.
It's game changer, and I've got a couple wading trips next week. But, man, it looks like Sunday another front's coming through or something,
yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah, northeast winds at 20 on Sunday.
So. Golly, man.
And about a 40% chance of rain Saturday and 30 Sunday, so a little weather.
Yeah.
Change for the weekend. All right, Steve. Well, I got a roll, buddy, and I know you do too. And tell Brooke congratulations on her accomplishments. You ought to be proud of her.
I'm a very proud daddy. I can tell you that.
I bet you are, buddy.
Excellent.
All right, throw them out a number, man. They can call you.
All right, man.
Go fishing.
All right, man. 409-256-7937.
All right, buddy. Well, Steve, have a good day. You take care, buddy.
All right, man. You too.
Later.
Thanks, Mickey.
All right. All right, that's Captain Steve Hillman down in G-Town. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back bright and early in the morning, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.